Thank you so much for your time today, Vincent.
No worries. My pleasure.
So what is the current process for identifying sharks guilty, if you can say, of attacks? Is the search quite random? Is there any way to tell? How is this done?
So the way it's normally done is by investigating the bite itself. So we can normally determine the species of shark in question by the angle of the bite, and also hopefully if the investigators are lucky, there are indents or actual teeth that are left behind. Unfortunately, while this can sort of guide the examiner to the species and the size of the species in question, it is very difficult to link that to an individual.
Right, and so what is the process? Are environmental experts, consulted before actions such as shark cullings happen, or?
So, in my experience, usually the researchers are involved directly, but that does not necessarily mean that their advice is actually adhered to. So, I'm sure that there was some consultation directly with fisheries in this case. But I very much doubt the researchers in question would have suggested drumlines as an option. But the ministers clearly took that option regardless of whether they believed it was going to work or not.
Yeah, and we're kind of looking at an eye for an eye ethical model here. Are there any alternatives that authorities could explore which don't maybe include killing?
So the current best option, which is still under trial and it's been extensively trialed in northern New South Wales, is the smart drumlines. And they work very similarly to the drumlines that are used here, except the difference is the goal of these smart drumlines is not to kill, it's to catch and displace the animals in question. So basically the sharks get caught, that sends a signal straight out to a local contractor who goes out, takes the shark, measures it, tags it, and tows it a couple kilometers out to sea where it's then released. So basically you're moving the animals away from the area that you want to protect. And this means that you don't kill sharks, you don't kill bycatch species, things like dolphins and turtles, which are often caught by these sorts of systems. And you potentially achieve the same desired outcome. The issue in this case is the sharks that they're catching are tiger sharks, and we know from research in Hawaii in particular, where they had the most extensive shark killing program in history, they killed over 4,000 tiger sharks,
wow,
that it has no measurable effect on actual bite frequency. So the reason is these are very transient sharks. They move quite regularly from beach to beach in a very unpredictable pattern, and so trying to quote-unquote, lower the risk in a small area is very unlikely.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about saving lives, but is it really down to the individual? You're trying to, it seems like you're trying to tame a wild animal. It doesn't seem right. And like you said, we don't even know if it's the right shark, or it doesn't really seem to stop the frequency. So what can we do on an individual level?
Well, on an individual level, there's lots of things that you can do to lower your risk to shark bite, and these are very well known things. So, avoiding swimming and being in the water at dawn and dusk when sharks are quite active. Avoid swimming in waters that have known shark presence or sort of whale carcasses. Avoid swimming in waters that are murky or full of bait fish. These are all things that are well known, and unfortunately, very few people sort of adhere to those guidelines and do end up get bit in those circumstances. And I believe in this case, one of the victims was actually swimming at dusk in that area, and so that's a risk factor. Those are the traditional things that you can do, but there are also more new technologies coming out, such as the Freedom Plus, which is has been tested by researchers in South Australia and found to reduce the interest significantly of white sharks in particular to a potential surfer. So there are actual technological tools as well as just behaviors that people can start to take on board to reduce their risk to shark bites.
Right. And so how would you say media coverage kind of affects conservation efforts when, you know, when we're watching sensationalist media messages that are set to incite fear in people? And how does that affect how people view the situation?
It makes things very difficult. There's two main reasons why the negative media coverage has a bad effect. The first one is it disproportionately leads people to believe that the scale of the problem is much larger than it is. The fact of the matter is it's still very, very unlikely that you will be bit by a shark. And yet things like, for example, drownings, which occur roughly 10 times as often in Australia as people are actually killed by sharks, receives comparatively little interest by the media, which is a bit silly in that sense. You're disproportionately attributing a threat level, regardless of how realistic it is. And the other thing is, the language that media tends to use in these cases tends to be very negative. It tends to have very negative connotations. They talk about feeding frenzies, about monsters and stuff like that, which makes it sort of unconsciously biases people to being okay with killing these things because they're perceived as mindless killing machines. Mm. When in fact we know that they're very important for the health of the ecosystems that in Australia the Great Barrier Reef is a national icon, and we know that sharks play a huge role in the health of those systems. And we also know that sharks are much smarter animals than the media leads us to believe. And the more research we do on these animals, the more we find out that they do have critical thinking abilities, and that they do sense pain and stuff like that. And they have very complex behaviors. And the fact that the media portrays them as mindless monsters very often just makes it easy for people to accept these sorts of culling programs, regardless of whether they actually have an impact on the risks to swimmers.
Completely. Well, thank you so much for your time on the show today. Hopefully we can change some people's minds and encourage people to act cautiously in the water. Thanks, Vincent.
Thank you very much.